Hello and welcome to the Monday, March 4th edition of Juno Afternoon. It is a fantastic afternoon, and it looks like it will be a fantastic evening. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it looks like we have sun for the next couple of days. So go out and enjoy the capital city. Here in the studio today, we have representatives from Big Brothers Big Sisters to talk about the upcoming Bowl for Kids' Sake event. We'll be talking about Discovery Southeast for spring break camps, and Shona Strasser from Perseverance Theater will give us the details about this year's spring break camp, Acting for Kids. And then we'll have an interview with Jeff Brown and Callie Connerton about the Banff Film Festival that's going on tonight.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A new report shows Native American casinos are steadily recovering from the recession. KUNM's Carrie Young has more.
Despite a sluggish economy, revenue at Native American gaming facilities is on the rise, according to Casino City's latest Indian gaming industry report. The study shows that nationwide, revenue grew by more than 3% in 2011, up from just 0.8% in 2010. In New Mexico, growth patterns followed national trends, increasing by about 2% in 2011 and 0.4% in 2010. Dr. Alan Meister, the author of the report, says while growth was modest, gaming revenue has now exceeded pre-recession levels.
It was growing, but at slower rates prior to the recession, and then took the dip in 2009 as a result of the recession, and then has started to show some recovery and start to show some positive growth afterwards.
The study shows that California, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Washington made the largest positive contributions to the industry in 2011. For National Native News, I'm Carrie Young.
The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians receives a disaster declaration directly from President Obama. The move comes after a change in law which allows tribes to make the request directly to the president without going through their states. The declaration signed Friday is for federal funding to help the tribe recover from January storms, flooding, landslides, and mudslides. The North Carolina tribe estimates there's about $3 million in damage to homes and public infrastructure. The tribe's working with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to coordinate the final assessment. The Eastern Band is the first tribe to receive a presidential disaster declaration under the newly amended Stafford Act. The Center for Native American Youth is celebrating its second anniversary in Washington, D.C. Tribal leaders, members of Congress, and others are taking part in a roundtable conversation and reception this week. The center was founded by former U.S. Senator Byron Dorgan to improve the health, safety, and overall well-being of Native youth through communication, policy development, and advocacy. The Sierra Club honors a Washington tribe. As Steve Jackson reports, it was recently given an environmental award.
The Colville Confederated Tribes were honored with the Watershed Hero Award. The tribe received the award for its work to hold the Canadian mining company Teck Metals Limited accountable for contaminating the Upper Columbia River. Tribal Council Chairman John Cyrus says the tribe has worked to become a steward of the river for all people.
It is for all people and all things that use that river, that depend on that river, whether it be salmon, people or animals, plants, all those things. Really, it's important for us to take care of our water.
A court decision in December found the mining company liable under Superfund law for eventual cleanup of mercury, cadmium, zinc, and other heavy metals dumped into the Columbia River for decades from its smelter in Trail, British Columbia. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting.
Alaska Native people are among the competitors in the 2013 Iditarod Sled Dog Race from Anchorage to Nome. 65 teams began the race over the weekend. Alaska Native mushers include John Baker, Mike Williams Sr., and Pete Kaiser. Baker won the title in 2011, becoming the first Alaska Native to claim it since the 1970s. To view their profiles and positions in the race, visit iditarod.com. During this week in 2008, a White House ceremony was held for Assistant Wapitan Oyate War Hero. Army Master Sergeant Woodrow Wilson Keeble posthumously received the Medal of Honor. His family, lawmakers, and other guests honored him for his heroic actions in the Korean War. Family members and lawmakers worked for years on the award. He was twice recommended. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC-CLIC-GIVE when filing online for your PFD. When you select KNBA-FM, Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, you support National Native News. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Juno Afternoon. I'm your Monday host, Joan Pardis. You're listening on KTOO. Here in the studio, we have representatives of Big Brothers Big Sisters. We have Karina Cook and Tanya Freeman, and they're here to talk about an event that's coming up in April. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
So Bowl for Kids' Sake is happening in Juneau, but is this a national event as well?
It is a national event, and it goes on pretty much from January 1st until some of the events are in June. Alaska does all of theirs here in the next couple months, with Juneau, I think, is the last city to have theirs. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And we're listening, that's the voice of Tanya Freeman, which is the event coordinator. So how long have you been coordinating this event here in Juneau?
This is my first year being the event coordinator. So I came on in January to help get the ball rolling, get the sponsors in, the teams together, and we're trekking away, getting it done,
okay.
Getting ready for the event.
So the event is at the bowling alley here on April 6th in Juneau, and already 10 teams have joined up, lots of sponsors, corporate sponsors, lots of prizes. So if I want to participate, let's say I say, hey, this is a great idea, I think I want to be a captain of a team to raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters, what do I have to do and what's the responsibility of being one of the bowlers?
So a team captain is a very important element to this event. And basically, you get your teams formed. We'd like everyone to be registered online, which often falls into the captain's duties, is motivating your team to get online, motivating them to keep getting pledges. There are prize incentives that I send emails out to the captains so that they know what is the next prize incentive. I just gave away a bunch of tram passes to all the team captains who have their teams registered by the end of February. The next incentive now is for the team captains to motivate their teams to raise up to $1,000, and whoever has that first gets a team pizza party at Bullwinkle's.
Oh, fun. So how many people need – what does a team consist of? How many people?
Typically 4 to 6 people. There are larger teams such as Kensington Bowling Bears. They have several people on their team, so they have actually formed 2 teams, which will bowl together. Dr. Gilbert's office also has 3 teams that are all bowling together. So.
Okay, so when you talk about the Kensington Bowling Bears and Dr. Gilbert's office, all of a sudden I feel, oh my, is this competitive? Or can you just go and not really be a good bowler?
You don't have to be a good bowler at all. The biggest part about it is having fun.
Okay, and what if I want, if you're a big brother or a big sister, which I am, and I want to bring my little sister or maybe even my daughter, is this open for kids as well?
Absolutely. We have time for matches. If you don't want to be part of the fundraising, you can certainly just come as a match and bowl. We have lanes specified for that. So there is always an opportunity for anyone to participate, whether you want to be a part of a fundraising team or just a match bowler.
Right, and the fundraising team can be adults and kids.
Adults, kids, absolutely.
Okay, and then to raise the money, do you have like a pledge sheet or is it online? Is it easy to do?
Yep, as soon as you register online or you can contact our office, I have pledge sheets and captain packets and smiles and laughs. So, yeah, the pledge sheets are available for pickup for team captains and.
But you could also do your own web page as well.
You can do your own web page where you can keep track of your pledges online, which is kind of fun because it has a meter that you see the red line go up, and it's nice to have that. So, yeah, but the pledge sheets are also pretty easy, and people like to have that paper pledge sheets to keep track. So.
And is this the big event for Big Brothers Big Sisters? Is this the big fundraising event?
Well, we have several events throughout the year. And this is one of them, one of four major events that helps with our funding. So,
and last year, this one event at the Bowling Alley raised $43,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
And where does that, how is that money used?
All that money is used to help with match support, providing the right tools for to make new matches, to support the matches that are already in place. We definitely do background checks before matches are made. We like to get them together in our office and do fun games and kind of a get-to-know session. So all the money is used to do that.
And it all stays here in Juneau?
All the money stays right here in Juneau.
And I'm assuming that if you make a contribution to Big Brothers Big Sisters through the bowling event, that it's tax deductible?
It is tax deductible, yep.
Okay. And when you talk about matches, you're talking about Big Brothers and Little Brothers and Big Sisters and Little Sisters, adults in the community that are matched with a child that for a variety of reasons could use an adult mentor. Is that true? I'm looking at Karina Cook, who's the school-based match coordinator for Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah, that's exactly what we mean by matches, and we are always able to take in new volunteers, and we always have children who are waiting to be matched up with a mentor and friend.
Right, and I think some people might think it's daunting, but as a big sister, I'm a big sister. I think it's really fun. I'm kind of a hybrid. I meet my little during lunch at school, but we also have a community match. So if there's some fun events that Big Brothers Big Sisters is running in town, which goes from zip lining and skiing and bowling and all these other things, we could go. So are there kids on the waiting list right now that could use a Big Brother, Big Sister?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of little brothers waiting. We always have more little brothers waiting than little sisters. But we have children waiting in the school-based program as well as children waiting in the community-based program. So if you're interested in volunteering over the weekends sometimes, then hook up with the community-based program, and if you're down to go spend, you know, part of your lunch hour once a week at one of the schools in town, then the school-based program would be a good fit for you. So, yep, we've got kids.
Right. And then if a little boy is waiting, if a young little boy or man, young man, they range in age from middle school, from elementary to middle school, correct?
Yeah, we serve children ages 6 through 17.
Okay. So, but it doesn't necessarily mean that an adult male would be matched with a young boy. You could have a woman be a big sister to a little brother. Is that correct?
Yeah, that does happen sometimes, and that works too.
And couples as well.
Yeah. That's when a couple wants to have, you know, like a little sister or a little brother, they can volunteer together as a pair.
That's great. So, what is the contact information to get in touch with you about this bowling event, to whether or not people want to bowl or if they want to maybe donate to the event as well?
Yep, I am available at our phone number, Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is 586-3350. You can call anytime. Anybody in the office can answer your questions, get you hooked up with my information, my email address. I can certainly answer questions through email as well. And my email is tanya.freeman@bbbsak.org.
Okay, and is there an informational website as well?
Yep, there is a Bowl for Kids Sake website, and it is www.bbbsak.org/bowl.
Okay, so it sounds like a party's happening April 6th at the Bowling Alley, and there's still room for you to join the party. Either if you're a volunteer, you could come and just bowl, but if you'd like to become a part of a team or captain a team, there's lots of fun. It seems like there's going to be lots and lots of prizes. I think there's T-shirts and just a really, really good time. So give them a buzz at 586-3350. Okay. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Strikes, maybe some spares, that's what what I like. Bowling is my kind of game. Ball again. I like to go bowling with my friend Bert, with my bowling ball and bowling shirt. Bowling is my kind of game.
Afternoon. You're listening on KTOO here in the studio with me, Joan Pardis, your Monday host. I have Beth Wagel and Christine Amore from Discovery Southeast. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And they are here to talk about their spring break camps and an upcoming spring equinox jamboree.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited. This year is our first try at doing a spring break camp, but people probably know us best for our summer outdoor explorers camps and our discovery days throughout the year, where we have a day of an adventure, where we take, you know, a van full of kids somewhere and check out something cool. And so we're going to try that over the course of spring break, and we've decided to call that our spring break backyard exchange. And we're going to kick off the week of spring break on a Saturday, actually, March 16th, out at the Eagle Valley Center with the Spring Equinox Jamboree. And that's brought to you by a whole host of organizations associated with the Juneau Children Outdoors Community Coalition. So our AmeriCorps member, Christine, here will be there doing some nature hikes along with Fish and Game and 4-H and the Watershed Partnership and Jensen Olson Arboretum. They'll be skiing and food and all sorts of things. So, Christine, what do you got planned for the Spring Equinox Jamboree hikes?
Well, I'm going to do some ocean study stuff because there will be lots of focus on tracking and sort of winter exploration with the other groups. So I'm excited to just take folks down to the beach.
Yeah, and so she's going to do hour-long walks out there in the Eagle Valley Center. And this is a free event for kids of all ages and families, and it's Saturday, March 16th. So that sort of kicks off spring break.
Okay, so that's March 16th from 10 to 4 at the Saga Center at the Eagle Valley Center.
It's called the Eagle Valley Center. It's out by Amalga, yeah.
Right. And along with being free, it seems that there's a shuttle from Zach Gordon Youth Center down to the Amalga Harbor, which is where the center
right.
is, where the festivities will take
exactly.
place.
Exactly, yes.
So, and also, if children can attend this event without their family members, but they have to pre-register. So
right.
for more information, you should give a buzz to 723-1547 or adventure@servealaska.org about the Jamboree, the
right.
Spring Equinox
right.
Jamboree. This sounds like a blast. It looks like a barbecue lunch, cross-country skis. It's open to families, open to
right.
kids.
Yeah, so it's a great way to kick off your spring break. And then, you know, we are offering then 5 full days of adventures for the week of spring break. So starting on Monday, we're going to hit a variety of the backyards of the schools. So we'll do a pickup with our van. So like, for example, the first day we'll pick up at Harborview at 8:30 in the morning and take kids out to Auk Bay. And if we have some more kids that want to meet us out there, that's great. And then we'll check out the Auk Bay backyard, maybe go over to the John Muir Trail and show them the secret route to the John Muir Trail from the school and head up that way. And then the second day, we're going to, again, do our pickup, drop off at Harborview. We'll hit Glacier Valley, and that's a really fun backyard. The Under Thunder Trail is nearby there. The third day, we're going to do a really fun adventure starting at River Bend and going to Mendenhall River. So, of course, the Brotherhood Bridge connects up those trails. And the fourth day, we'll hit Gastineau. This is Christine's backyard school this year. What's fun in behind Gastineau?
Lately, we've been heading up to the Meadows and checking out the snowpack, and it's a really nice little area up there, nice view. We'll probably do that and
right.
do some exploration.
And Christine will be along on all these adventures with our Harborview naturalist, Rick Bellog. And then the fifth day, we're going to head up to Eagle Crest, and we've been doing this event for the past few years. People will remember the snowshoe adventures at Eagle Crest, and then Rich from DiPack comes up with his fun ice cream making activity and teaches them a little bit about salt and salinity and temperature and makes some ice cream in a bucket. So that'll be a fun day. And we'll provide van transportation, like I said, and we will also have some other people meet us at the trailheads or the schools. And we provide scholarships. So if somebody out there is thinking, gosh, this sounds great, but I don't know if I could send my kid for the whole week, then give us a call and we can tell you about our pay-as-you-can scholarships. And then if you're thinking, gosh, one day sounds great, but I can't do them all, then give us a call too, because we'll take sign-ups daily, or we'll take sign-ups for the week, or we'll take sign-ups for 2 days or whatever fits your spring break schedule so that your kids have the most fun they possibly can.
Right. And this is for ages 7 to 12. To register, you can call 463-1500 or info@discoverysoutheast.org. And Discovery Southeast, along with their school program, where they go into the schools and they combine classroom, math, science, literacy, with the great outdoors. They've also covered the niche market as far as those days off, as far as really quality child care on those days when the kids are out of school but you're in the office, and what to do with them, and they're out there in our backyard, which on a day like today, we all know what terrific place we live in.
Right.
So it's really great. But I do want to urge everybody to get to the phone and get to the email, because I have tried to sign up in the summer for my daughter, and it's popular. So you need to sign up. It's a limited, because of transportation with the vans, it's limited. It's quality outdoor education.
Yeah.
So you want to, if you're thinking about spring break, which it's hard to and then not so hard in the day
today. I know,
today,
it's 2 weeks from today.
It's 2 weeks from today. So it's really, really a great fun way for your kids. And they come home tired and full of lots of stories.
Yeah. And we have actually been getting a lot of calls about the summer Outdoor Explorers Camp, so we'll get that schedule up, and people can start signing their kids up for summer, too, because that's already happening.
Yes, I'm a last-minute Nellie. That's why I always got closed out. Yeah. But they were very accommodating. We'll put you on the waiting list, but everybody wanted to go, so it didn't happen.
Right.
So we're talking about a Spring Equinox Jamboree out on March 16th out at the Eagle Valley Center. It's free from 10 to 4, and we're also talking about Spring Break Camp. Unplug and get outside with the Backyard Exchange with Naturalists. And so your kids need to dress appropriately and bring a lunch and water, and the rest will just be provided by Discovery Southeast.
Right, and when you call our office, you'll probably get Christine, and she'll sign you up, and we have varying ways of pricing it, like I said, or scholarships are available. And one thing I want to mention is just we're really lucky. We get a lot of great support for our programs, that we can have scholarships, and we do a variety of fundraising events, and it's not too far away, but our 24th annual dinner and auction fundraiser is coming up in April on the 19th, and I'll just give a quick little preview of that, in that one of our big call-out auction donations just came in the other day from UnCruise Adventures. They're formerly known as American Safari Cruises. They come up here and do small, intimate cruises, and they're donating a cruise for two to the Sea of Cortez in Mexico again this year. So that's going to be a big, fun call-out item. And then, of course, we get all kinds of cool trips and dinners and items and artwork and things like that. So that's something to keep in mind. And if you're a business and interested in our auction donation, you can give us a call for that, too.
Right. And there's also massages and dinners and Indian dinners and exotic dinners that we can't find here in Juneau.
Yeah.
So that's April 19th, and where is that going to be?
That'll be at Centennial Hall again. It's a Friday night, and we'll open the doors at 6, and it'll be a fun night for that for our community to get together and have some good food from Abby's Kitchen and bid on some unique adventures and items and dinners, like you said.
That sounds great. So mark your calendar for April 19th. But before you do that, get out to the Eagle Valley Center March 16th from 10 to 4 and get in touch with Discovery Southeast, 463-1500, or info@discoverysoutheast.org. Or you could just search it on the web and find out information about their spring break camps.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, kids, let's go for a walk.
There's a place that I know where I like to go. The rivers are run so crystal clear, and the trees are growing tall, and the critters have it all, and wild birds are all that you hear. Come walk with me,
come walk with me,
through the big pine trees.
From the mountain tops,
to the shining sea,
where the critters roam,
free and on their own,
in the wilderness,
we'll be right at home. It's where the grizzly roams his high mountain home. He's looking for his pine nuts and his berries. Oh, he likes to have his fun. He likes laying in the sun. But to some folks, he's still a bit too scary. Come walk with me.
Come walk with me.
Through the big pine tree.
Through the big pine tree.
From the mountain top.
From the mountain top.
To the shining sea.
To the shining sea.
Where the critters roam.
Where the critters roam.
Freed on their own.
In the wilderness,
we'll be right at home.
We'll be right at home.
It's where life is free to live and breathe and be. Everything just has a special place. Big and small, they get by. Some eat, some sleep, some die. Some even have a smile on their face. Come walk with me,
come walk with me,
through the big pine tree,
through the big pine tree,
from the mountain tops,
from the mountain tops,
to the shining sea,
to the shining sea,
where the critters roam,
where the critters roam,
free and on their own,
free and on their own,
in the wilderness,
in the wilderness,
we'll be right at home,
we'll be right at home.
It's where the bull elk walks, and the wolf still runs and stalks. She sings a song up to the morning sky. And the sheep and mountain goat share the rocky, craggy slopes with the pika, who's still a bit too shy. Come walk with me,
come walk with me,
through the big pine tree,
through the big pine tree,
from the mountain tops,
to the shining sea,
where the critters roam,
free and
on their own,
in the wilderness,
we'll be right at home.
Come walk with me,
through the big pine tree, from the mountain tops,
to the shining sea,
where the critters roam.
Free
on their own.
Free on their own.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
We'll be right at home.
We'll be right at home.
Come.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Joan Pardis, of this edition of Juno Afternoon. If you'd like to be a host of Juno Afternoon, K2 is looking for volunteers to do that. So give the station a buzz or send an email and just let them know that you're interested. Trust me, if I could do it, you could do it. Give them a call. I am in the studio with Shauna Strasser from Perseverance Theater. She is, along with being a talented actress and singer, she's the director of education and the artistic associate of the theater. And I think for the first time, they are having a spring break theater camp.
That's right. It's the very first time. I'm excited about it. We usually do Young Company because we do Young Company also, which like runs throughout the school year. But then what happened is, parents would say, hey, we're going out of town. So then Young Company kids wouldn't make it over spring break. So then we're like, well, why don't we just do something for kids in town who are here and happy and want to do some theater? So, yeah, we have three great classes lined up. I'm really excited.
Okay. It seems that for ages 8 to 11, there's a creative dramatics for that age set, and then there's a musical theater workshop for 12 to 18-year-olds, and then an actor's intensive for 12 to 18-year-olds. Let's start with the younger set, from 8 to 11. What can parents expect if they sign up their child for creative dramatics?
Yeah, sure. Well, creative dramatics is pretty much an introduction to theater. And what creative dramatics is actually it takes you through all these different kind of playscapes. So with Dawn Colden, who's the teacher, she's fabulous. She just directed Oliver out at Floyd Dryden, which was super cool.
It was very fun.
Right? She's done a lot of stuff at Perseverance, too. We're very, very lucky to work with her. Anyway, she's leading that. And so parents all the time have been coming to me, and so I start most of the programs at 10, and they're like, Shauna, come on. We have expressive 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds. So I'm like, okay. So this is kind of their the introduction to that. So they'll kind of go through voice. It's a lot of physical work, a lot of body, which is really kind of great for 8-year-olds and mine.
Okay.
Me too.
and it's from 9 a.m. to noon, and I'm assuming it's at the theater.
Yes. Okay. All these classes are at the theater, yeah.
Okay.
Over
and so
in Douglas.
Is it on the main stage?
We're going to do one of the classes on the main stage and then the other classes in the Phoenix, which is our second stage space.
Sounds great. So that's 9 a.m. to noon, and this is spring break, March 18th through 22nd for 11-year-olds. And then the next class is musical theater workshop for 12 to 18-year-olds, and that's from 12:30 to 3:30. So how is that going to work? You're going to have some musicians there?
Musical theater actually is running at the same time as creative dramatics. So that's going to run both in the morning. Those are both morning sections.
Okay.
So musical theater will be probably in the Phoenix, and we'll have the little kiddos on the main stage.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So from 9 to noon for both these classes. Sorry about that.
Exactly.
And the musical theater workshop, what can 12 to 18-year-olds expect from this?
Sure. Well, I'll be leading the musical theater workshop, which I'm really excited about. And we'll be learning kind of some standard songs. We'll be learning some basic dance moves, so a boxed up, a grapevine, and lots of people already know that kind of stuff. Some basic tap, because I'm a tapper. But mostly that will really be getting vocally how we get out there. We'll learn the difference between a true legit voice, and find people's ranges, because a lot of kids don't know their range really, where they are, and kind of work on songs.
And will there be a showcase at the end of the week?
We're not actually doing a showcase, and that's why I love this program, because all of the programs that we do at Perseverance for Young People are mostly show-related. And yes, there's definitely training that comes out of that, of course, but this is actually all about training. I mean, I'm not going to say, parents can't come in on the last day and we'll present. It's not going to – they can definitely come in any day of the week, so that's – no reason there for them not to, but we just want to make, just skill building.
Right. So it's not performance oriented.
Exactly.
It's the process.
Exactly.
Which is so important, because people always think, people ask me, I used to work in the entertainment industry a million years ago, and people ask me all the time oh, my kid wants to be in the entertainment industry. I'm like, oh, it's a grind. It's a lot of hard work.
Exactly.
So it's great to have the process for them just to get the confidence to get the tools. Because
exactly.
We recently saw DreamWorks up in Anchorage.
Oh, great.
And my husband looked at me and says, how do they hit their mark and sing and dance at the same time? I'm like, welcome to musical theater.
Practice.
Exactly.
Lots of it.
Let's talk about the Actors Intensive. So that's not going to be singing and dancing.
No, the Actors Intensive will be a lot of text work. So finding beats, playing objectives, and just some, you know, I teach at the university, acting at the university, so I'll basically kind of take that curriculum and pare it down into 1 week, and that will be pretty intense. That's why I use that word, actually.
And that's 12:30 to 3:30. And mm-hmm. Are you doing classics or are you doing contemporary?
We'll do both.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds fun.
We'll do both.
Sounds fun. So to sign up, how does one do this?
You can give me a buzz at Perseverance Theater, or you can check on our website and you can find my email address there. It's shona@perseverancetheater.org. Or you can sign up online. There's actually a sign-up sheet now. It's kind of our new thing there. You can sign up for all education programs.
Right, and is the space limited?
The space is not limited. We're ready and willing to put as many people as we can on that stage, and we've had 40, so there you go.
Oh, my.
Not for kids, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, once again, creative dramatics for ages 8 to 11, 9 to noon, musical theater workshop, 12 to 18-year-olds, same time, Actors Intensive for 12 to 18-year-olds, 12:30 to 3:30, all at the theater in Douglas, and it's during spring break, March 18th through 22nd.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
The cost is $150 for a class, and then scholarships are available, and those are need-based, so we can talk about that on the phone or via email.
That sounds great. And while I have you in the studio, can we talk a little bit about the show that's opening this Friday?
Yes, I'm very excited.
So, tell me about Seminar. This is a new play
for Juno. It's actually new for most of the country. It just got off of Broadway last April, so this is a Teresa Rebeck play. Teresa Rebeck, for those of you who have seen Smash on TV, which is about musical theater, it's about Broadway, it's very funny. So she writes she's a very sitcom-y writer, but sitcom with some meaning, you know, not just all fluff. And it's very, very funny. And it's pretty poignant, too. And actually, most of the people on stage, except for one, are people that Juno would really know by face because they've seen him on stage before. So that's really great. It opens Friday. We have a pay-as-you-can preview tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And, it's called Seminar. It's great.
Sounds fun. And then what's the last show of the season? There's one more?
Yeah, the last show is a play called The Road Weeps, The Well Runs Dry by Marcus Gardley. And Marcus Gardley is, right now, he's a very, very hot writer in the theater scene in the United States. He just won a USA grant, or an artist grant, and the play is beautiful. It's about Black Seminole country, and just goes kind of talks about race relations and love, and it's just a beautiful piece. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Shona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 4th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of Alan Sillitoe, born in Nottingham, England, 1928, wrote about his hometown in his novel Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. It was on this day in 1952, Ernest Hemingway wrote a letter to his publisher saying he had just finished his new book, The Old Man and the Sea. And it's the birthday of Khaled Hosseini, born in Kabul in 1965, author of the runaway bestseller, The Kite Runner, sold more than 12 million copies around the world, came out in 2003. He was the son of a diplomat, an affluent family that immigrated to this country around the time of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. They landed in San Jose when Khaled was 12. They had nearly nothing. They had to go on welfare. His father, the diplomat, found work as a driving instructor in San Jose, and Khaled Hosseini set out to make a career that would earn some income. He went off to medical school, made it through his residency. He was an internist, and then he began to think about writing, which he had always meant to do. He got up at 5 every morning so he could write for 2 hours before he went to the hospital. He wrote about his memories of Afghanistan, an autobiographical story about a friendship between an 8-year-old boy, the son of a diplomat, and one of the family servants, an illiterate man from an ethnic minority group. The boy teaches the servant to read and write, and the servant teaches the child to fly kites. The book came out, and it was so phenomenally successful that Khaled Hosseini had a hard time writing his second one. But it came out in mid-2007, 1,000 Splendid Sons, a story narrated by two Afghani women, Miriam and Layla. A very different book with a lot of main characters and multi-generational, told from alternating points of view. It was the best-selling book in Britain in 2008. Here's a poem for today by Stephen Dobbins, entitled Waking. Waking, I look at you sleeping beside me. It is early, and the baby in her crib has begun her conversation with the gods that direct her, cooing and making small hoots. Watching you, I see how your face bears the signs of our time together. For each objective description, there is the romantic. For each scientific fact, there's the subjective truth. This line was caused by days at a microscope. This, from when you thought I no longer loved you. Last night a friend called to say that he intends to move out. So simple, he and his wife splitting like a cell into two separate creatures. What would happen if we divided ourselves? As two colors blend on a white pad, so we have become a third color. Or better, as a wire bites into the tree it surrounds, so we have grown together. Can you believe how frightening I find this, to know I have no life except with you? It's almost enough to make me destroy it, just to protest it. Always we seemed perched on the brink of chaos, but today there's just sunlight and the baby's chatter, her wonder at the way light dances on the wall. How lucky to be ignorant, to greet joy without a trace of suspicion, to take that first step without worrying what comes trailing after, as night trails after day, as winter, summer, or confusion, where all seemed clear, and each moment was its own reward. Stephen Dobbins' poem Waking from his collection Velocities, published by Penguin, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, helping professionals and businesses look their best when people search for them online. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
This station receives support from Canyon Hydro, providing maintenance, inspection, and repair services to remote hydro producers with fly-in service available. Information about these services can be found at canyonhydro.com.
I'm here in the studio with Kelly Connerton, a member of the University of Alaska Southeast Student Government, who's working on a Banff Film Festival showing tonight and tomorrow night. Kelly, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Yeah, we're super stoked. It's the University of Alaska Southeast Student Government is bringing the Banff Film Festival up to Juneau, which we've done for the past couple of years now, and it's just a phenomenal event. We've driven, it's fun for the students, it's great for the community, and Juneau is a very outdoor positive community, as most people are outside probably right now in the sunshine if they can. I certainly did some shredding earlier today on Eagle Crest, so it's super exciting. Thanks for having me.
These films are showing tonight and tomorrow night?
Yes, they are. We're showing them at Centennial Hall. And, for example, tonight there's going to be stuff with, like, Gimp Monkeys, Swirling Snow, Snowmobiling. There's going to be stuff about the Grand Canyon waterfalls. It's going to be really exciting. We have, oh, God, 8 films tonight, and it's going to be really great. There's 2 different halves of the show, and it's just really exciting. All the films are picked from all over the world, and the Banff Film Festival has certain, like, a bunch of films, and they send them all to us. And the University of Alaska students, about 2 weeks ago, picked out the films that they wanted to show. So it wasn't just student government. It was all the student body picked out videos, and we're really excited about them. Tonight comes from, like, everywhere from, like, the UK, U.S., mostly U.S. tonight, but tomorrow night's going to be a little more international. It's going to be really fun tomorrow night. Tuesday, it's going to be from Canada, Australia, New Zealand. It's France, as well as the USA. Tomorrow night, we have some mountain biking, some time-lapse photography, which I'm really stoked about, the Canadian Rockies, a journey across Antarctica to the South Pole. Like, that's a lot of barren ice to go across, as well as, like, the top survival tool, climbers, whitewater paddlers. They're skating, bathing, a little vodka in one of them, as well as just the journey to the last frontier, Alaska. So it's really exciting. We're really excited about it.
You start at 7 o'clock tonight?
They do. The doors open at 6:30 both nights, and then the show starts at 7. And, of course, it's an all-ages event. I'm bringing the people up kids I nanny for, so I'm really excited about it. I have a 10-year-old super stoked. So, and there are door prizes, tickets for door prizes as well, so that'll be fun.
What does it cost to get in?
For students of any age group, it's $10 for one night, $15 for both nights. And then for the general public, it's $15 per night, as well as $25 for both nights. And it's really worth going to both nights because there's so much differential. It's outdoor films, the Mountain Film Festival, and it's beyond cool. Last year, I was knocked off my socks.
Tell me a little bit more about the UAS student government.
So the University of Alaska Southeast Student Government is an organization, and we currently have a full Senate. We have a vice president, and then 7 senators. And we work within the university to improve the university on a whole and, you know, get a little bit more communication between the faculty and the administration and the students. And we try and, you know, sponsor student events. We recently, this past weekend, we sponsored a DJ from London to come, Betamax, and it was really funny. He's a video DJ, and it was really cool. And we try to give the students opportunities to do things, as well as we do travel grants for the students, and we support different clubs in their things, and we fund all the clubs that are on UAS. We, for example, Alaska Pella, Gay Straight Alliance. There's an improv club, which is very big on campus, that just had a performance this weekend, and it's really fun. It's definitely a huge, huge community at UAS, and it's really great to be a part of it.
And it's supported in part by events like tonight and tomorrow night.
Yes, it is. It's really great. This is our one fundraiser of the year, and we really appreciate that the public is so involved. We're really, one thing that we're trying to do, and this really enables us to do it, is we try and, you know, have outreach in the community. We try and, you know, bring community members into the university, and well as bring university students out into the community. And this really melds it a lot of the times because, you know, everyone's excited about the Banff Mountain Film Festival. So it's a really great opportunity for us.
Once again, it starts at 7 o'clock tonight at Centennial Hall and goes tomorrow night as well.
Yes, it does. And thank you so much for letting me come here today, Jeff.
Thank you, Kelly Connerton, Senator from the University of Alaska Southeast Student Government.
Have a great day, Juno.
This is
third note. The naturalist John Hay asks, is it not possible to follow the light through the medium of a bird? Without them, the days would go by without definition. Sometimes it does feel as if we'll never emerge from a featureless murk of dark days. But winter's weak light is finally beginning to strengthen, and some birds, long absent, have begun their journey north, coming back to us. Here's what to look and listen for as we approach the time when day and night are equal. Look for the return of tree swallows, with their metallic blue-green backs, white throats, and notched tails. Ornithologist David Allen Sibley describes their song as a repeated series of clear, sweet whistled phrases. This month also brings phoebes. Eastern phoebes east of the Rockies. And Say's phoebes in the west. Bluebirds are arriving too, both eastern and western, and they're all looking for cavities in which to nest. So be of good cheer. The birds and spring are coming back. Both swallows and bluebirds will nest in nest boxes, and you can help provide them with a home. We'll show you how. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from GCI. With access to the world with video, internet, local, long distance, and wireless phone service. Serving Juneau in two locations, downtown on Seward Street and in the valley. GCI, connecting Alaskans.
The Juneau World Affairs Council presents a forum on China, The Pivot and the Sail, China in the 21st Century. Starting at 7 p.m. on Friday night, March 8th, at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, and continuing all day March 9th, the experts we're bringing to Juneau will discuss China today and where it is going in the 21st century. That's the evening of March 8th and all day on Saturday, March 9th, at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, the Juneau World Affairs Council, bringing the world to Juneau.
Hello, Juno. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. As far as the World Affairs Council Forum on China, tune in tomorrow to Juno Afternoon with Pat Moore, host. Jim Clark will be talking about China in the 21st century, the forum that will be happening this weekend, and also the Friends of Albuquerque annual meeting and Brown Bear Forum will be discussed. More about Perseverance Theater's newest production seminar, and we'll also talk with Giselle Stone about the school district's elementary arts program. That's tomorrow afternoon on Juno Afternoon with Pat Moore. As for weather, it's going to be sunny and cold at night until Thursday when we start getting some clouds, and it doesn't look like rain's back on the forecast till Friday night. So tonight will be lows in 22, highs 28. Tomorrow will be about the same as today and the same on for Wednesday and Thursday, partly cloudy. Okay, tonight CBJ is having their assembly meeting. Tune in at KTOO to hear the proceedings at 7 o'clock. Also, for Junoites who are interested in the state's operating budget, the House Finance Committee is taking public testimony from Junoites at 1:30 to 2:30 up on the Hill. This is your time to express your opinions. We don't let our legislators know what we feel. They'll think that we're happy with the status quo. So if you have an issue with the state's operating budget, there are cuts along the line, education, and many, many more. You could go to the state's website to find out the whole budget. Look at the whole bill. If there's something you want to share with your legislators tomorrow from 1:30 to 2:30 is the perfect time to do that. On CBJ, tune in tonight at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening and enjoy the sun.
KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ox Bay area, tune to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AL at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org.
They're going to be making sure that we're investing in American energy, that we're doing everything that we can to combat the threat of climate change.
A new round of nominations for President Obama's cabinet. It's Monday, March 4th, and this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. In this hour, nominations include Department of Energy and the EPA, where the fight over regulating carbon emissions from new power plants continues.
Like Willie Sutton said,